When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, follow the podcast, YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there as the All-Star break reaches its final day today. Tomorrow, the Phils and all of Major League Baseball back at it. And we are what? Today is the 72 weeks from today, the MLB trade deadline, which means the Phillies have 2 weeks to patch up holes, fix their team, and try to make a real run towards winning a World Series in October. And I think we all realize they need serious help in the bullpen. And I believe they need a bat if they're going to win the World Series because they are a toothless lineup outside of Kyle Schwarber when it comes to power. So they need power. They need strikeouts. We went over that the other day. All right, now the who, right? It was the what a couple days ago, talked about on the podcast. But it's now the who. And because, you know, it's interesting what's happened to the game with the addition of the extra wild card. It has made the trade deadline so much more challenging to figure out who's actually a seller. You know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it was pretty obvious at this time of the year who was going to be a seller. Maybe there was a team or so every year on the bubble, and they were going to play it out the final 2 weeks and figure it out. But now there's way more of those teams, and there's way more incentive than there ever has been to not sell, to either hold or to go for it yourself, because that allure of the wild card is there. And we've seen, like, last year was a little bit different because the Yankees and Dodgers were, you know, the Yankees and Dodgers. But the year before that, we saw with the Texas Rangers and specifically the Arizona Diamondbacks just get in. Just get in. It doesn't even matter if you're an 83, 84, 85 win team. If that's the bar in a particular league in that particular season, just get in. Now, this year, the NL bar feels higher, upper 80s wins, if not 90. And the bar in the AL feels lower. I wouldn't be surprised if there's an AL team that gets in and maybe has a Diamondbacks kind of run. I don't know who it's going to be. You know, Boston looks very good right now. Seattle, you know, with their young pitching and Cal Raleigh, you know, who knows? I mean, it could be anybody. Detroit's obviously the favorite right now in the American League to get to the World Series because they're running away with the Central. But it really could be anybody. So I don't expect a lot of teams that are 2, 3, 4 games above 500 to sell, but things could change. And, you know, teams now like to think in dual tracks where I'll buy here, but I'll sell there and I'll still be, you know, in a positive light prospect wise moving forward. That all being said, because there's not probably 10 or 12 sellers, I think it's going to be harder for Dave Dombrowski to pull off multiple moves with different teams because, you know, you're diving into a pool to where you have to find an agreement with two different general managers. You have to fend off other teams trying to get those same players and outbid in two different. I think it's going to be easier for the Phillies this particular year if they make a one-stop shopping deal. I've been thinking about this for a while because there's some teams out there who are potential sellers. And they have multiple things that the Philadelphia Phillies need right now. And I have 5 teams listed that the Phillies could do one-stop shopping with. And I rank them here from 5 all the way to 1. So let's go through them. The 5 teams with the players that I think would be the most interesting one-stop shopping deals for the Philadelphia Phillies, all things considered. Let's roll through it. All right, I'm going to start at number five. And I like this. So just because it's five on my list doesn't mean I don't like it. I put it on my list. It's there for a reason. Number five is Tampa Bay Rays. Now, Tampa Bay's three games over 500 as I record this. They're a solid team. They're certainly in the race. I don't think they should sell because with their starting pitching and their smarts and the way they hit for, you know, about a month and a half from May on, I think they can make the playoffs in the American League. But you know Tampa Bay. I mean, Tampa Bay, they could buy and sell. They could sell and still make the playoffs because they always are thinking about tomorrow because of their situation with their ballpark and their money, and they just said the new owners thing going on right now. But if Tampa Bay decides to sell, I think they have a combination of players that fits the Phillies very well. Brandon Lau, the second baseman, and Pete Fairbanks, the relief pitcher. Now, you might say, that's not a position I thought of with the first name, but it should be. So Brandon Lau has 19 home runs, which would be clearly the second biggest home run bat on the Phillies. You know, right now, the Phillies' second-leading home run guy is Nick Castellanos with 12, behind Schwarber, who has 30. So the Phillies have a power gap, and Brandon Lau has real power. Now, Lau has had injuries throughout his career. It's part of the reason why his name is brought up more when it comes to one of the better second basemen in baseball. But the guy's good. Over 800 OPS, 19 home runs, legitimate left-handed power. Now, it's another lefty, so you have to figure out how you want to structure the lineup. But I can't worry about it because if I get Brandon Lau in the lineup, I'm getting pop. And you're not getting pop at all from a lot of spots in the lineup. And I think it's about time we have the discussion on what Bryson Stott is and what Bryson Stott's going to be. In fact, because there's no real spot for Bryson Stott, you know, post this trade, I would offer him in the trade. I would offer the Rays, and they might be interested because Bryson Stott is still relatively cheap. I would offer the Rays Bryson Stott as part of this package. Could you trade Bryson Stott and a lower-level prospect, pitching prospect, to the Rays for Brandon Lau and Pete Fairbanks? I think you could. Would they ask for Mick Abel? They might. Would you trade Stott and Abel for Lau and Fairbanks? I think I would. Now, Fairbanks is not as perfect of a relief pitcher I'd want at the deadline. ERA's good. It's been shiny for years. That strikeout rate has dipped a lot over the years, and it's not in a good spot right now. And I look at Fairbanks as more of like last year's Estevez, to where he'd help, and he would probably stabilize things in the back end for the rest of the season. Playoff-wise, though, if he's pitching the way he's pitching right now, I don't trust him, and I think you could have a moment like you had the Estevez grand slam to Lindor. He doesn't miss enough bats. So that concerns me a little bit. It's why this pair is fifth on my list. If Fairbanks was having a dominant season, it might be number one or two on my list because I like Lau a lot. Number five on my list, Tampa Bay, Brandon Lau, and Pete Fairbanks. Number four, and this would have been higher if not for recent injury to Shelby Miller, and I'm going to Arizona with Eugenio Suarez, who's on pace for 50 home runs at third base, and I'm going to just pencil in Kevin Ginkle as the relief pitcher. You know, this would have been, now if Arizona was healthy, it might be a moot point because they'd be in the race and they'd be going for it. But Arizona, if they just had a few less injuries, would be probably the perfect trade partner for the Phillies because they had what I thought was going to be a tremendous bullpen to start the season, and they all got hurt. But you had AJ Puck and Justin Martinez, who I had those guys on like every fantasy team, they're both gone. And Shelby Miller, who was the one I wanted to pencil in here, but he just went down with an elbow injury. Going to get a second opinion. We'll see. It's a tricky one because even if they get good news on the MRIs and the doctor visits and all that, he's not going to probably be off the IL by the time the trade deadline gets here. So you're bringing in a guy with an elbow injury and cross your fingers. Now, Ginkle was hurt to start the season, came back. He hasn't been as great as he was in years past, but he's good. And he's a guy that shut the Phillies down in the NLCS a few years ago. Eugenio Suarez, Kevin Ginkle, they're fourth on my list as a pair. Ginkle in the bullpen, Suarez to come play third base. I'd move Bohm to first, and I would put Harper back in the outfield. Now, that one has a lot of moving parts. You cross your fingers on the relief pitcher, but boy, right-handed, 50 home run power in the middle of the lineup with Suarez is very difficult to say no to. All right, number three, and this one is a you choose your own adventure, but the team makes a lot of sense. And that is the Phillies matching up with the Baltimore Orioles on a one-stop shopping deal. Now, if the Phillies want to go big with the bat, Ryan O'Hearn was just an all-star for the American League, for the Baltimore Orioles, having a great season. And, you know, he's played some outfield in the past. He's been mostly a DH. He could play first base. I think the likely thing, if you bring him in, is you ask him to put a glove on and you see if he can handle the outfield and left field at Citizens Bank. If he can't, or you don't think he can, then you have to ask Bryce Harper to go to the outfield again. I mean, he'd play first base and Harper would go to the outfield. So O'Hearn gives them options and a big bat. The other one, in terms of a bat from the Orioles, that side of the deal, Ramon Laureano, who, you know, a few years ago looked like he was going to be a star, big-time defender, big-time arm in the outfield and center field. And then he just fell off as an offensive player to a pretty high degree. He bounced around. He was in Atlanta. And you look at his numbers like, whoa, it's pretty darn good. 11 home runs, OPS over 800 would probably be the second best offensive player or third on the Phillies right now. When you add it all together, fourth maybe if you want to portray, because he's had a good year, even though he's dipped recently and the OPS is down, but, you know, still steals bases and has been getting on base. But whatever, he'd be one of your better offensive players. He hits lefties. You could play him every day. You could play him in center. You could play him in left. Laureano could be a more simple addition for the Phillies. He fits the need in the outfield more than the O'Hearn one, and he's having a good year. So one of O'Hearn or Laureano is the bat. And then in the bullpen, you could go the Felix Bautista route, though I haven't loved what I've seen post-Tommy John. That would be more of a long-term outlook because he could be your closer for years to come if he comes back fully from the injury he had, because I just don't think he's that guy this year yet. Or you could bring home Sir Anthony Dominguez, who has one of the 15 highest strikeout rates of any relief pitcher in baseball. And we know he could pitch here. We know he could pitch in the postseason. He's had big moments for the Phillies. You know, and you can mix and match the deal. I feel like the bigger deal is O'Hearn and Bautista. That costs you a lot. The smaller deal is Laureano and Sir Anthony, or you can mix and match, you know, both combinations there. They're number three, the Orioles. Number two on my list, the Minnesota Twins. And that would be with either of the relief pitchers, Griffin Jacks or Jaran Duran. Look, Jacks' strikeout rate's off the charts. Jacks right now looks, of all these relief pitchers I've brought up so far in this episode, like the one most ready for October with his strikeout rate. Now, his ERA is a little inflated. I wouldn't get too bent out of shape about that because all the underlying numbers are really good for Griffin Jacks. But, of course, Duran's been a great closer for a long time and can lock down that ninth inning and let Topper mix and match other spots. And then for the bat for the Twins, if Byron Buxton hadn't said very publicly this week that he was not waiving his no-trade clause and he wanted to be a Minnesota Twin for life, they'd be number one. But that's not happening because Buxton doesn't want to leave the Twins, so that dream is over. And not that I was...
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Totally sold on Buxton because you're worried about you're paying for a guy that's going to get injured again. But the Buxton we're seeing this year combined with Duran or Jacks would have been easily number one on this list. We're not getting that. So what bat from the Twins? Willie Castro is a really interesting player. 9 home runs, OPS close to 800, plays the outfield exceptionally, plays second base. So you could, you know, Willie Castro, think of Edmundo Sosa, but better. Think of Edmundo Sosa, but more versatile. And I think Castro coming here would just be the second baseman and take the job for Bryson Stott. Or if Stott picks it up a little bit, he could become the left fielder and take the job for Max Kepler. So you'd be getting an everyday bat. Now, would he solve the power issues? He wouldn't. Only 9 home runs. I mean, it's more than Stott. And I think you'd be getting a good player the rest of the season. It's a complimentary piece. It's a really interesting complimentary piece. He's a good player. But the bullpen piece here is the headliner. So Minnesota number two on my list with Jacks or Duran and Willie Castro. And number one by a mile, if the Phillies are trying for one-stop shopping, is the combination of Steven Kwan and Emmanuel Clase. Now, I wish Class A strikeout rate was a little bit higher. You know, it seems like he's having a good season, not as dominant of a season as he's had in the past, but he's obviously, you know, a superb relief pitcher and has been for years. And I think he would do well here. And then Kwan is just one of my favorite players in all of baseball. He is a really unique player, a winning player. You saw the final at-bat, or the at-bat to tie the game in the ninth inning of the All-Star game, put the bat in the ball, seven-pitch at-bat, fighting pitches off, taking pitches. He's awesome. I'd put him at the top of the lineup. I'd put Turner 2, Harper 3, Schwarber 4, and away we go to try to score some runs. Now, he would not solve the power issue, though he had 14 last year, a little bit less this year, but he would make them a better offense. In every simple way you can measure, he'd make them a better offense. He is a spectacular defensive player in the outfield, and he can do everything. He gets on base. He doesn't strike out. His strikeout to walk ratio is basically even, which is just unheard of unless your name is Juan Soto or back in the day, Joey Votto. It just doesn't happen. I mean, it really is. He's outrageously good. I think he's still underrated, even though he's been, you know, an all-star and a gold glove guy and all that. I still think he's an underrated player. But what strikes me about Kwan, I consider him almost like a less dynamic Ichiro Suzuki. Ichiro was faster and more dynamic, but Kwan is close. You know, if Ichiro in his heyday was an A+, Kwan's like an A or an A-. They're very similar. And I'd love to have him here in Philadelphia. I think people would love him. And Class A is a very classy relief pitcher. So that's number one. I mean, that's number one by a mile. It'd be Class A and it'd be Stephen Kwan. It would cost a ton. I mean, they are completely, the Cleveland Guardians completely in their rights to ask for Andrew Painter. And if the Phillies say no, then they say, well, we have to get Crawford and Miller and Mick Abel. And it's not a crazy ask. In fact, it's a fair ask, all things considered. So that's where I'm at on the combination of different players for the Phillies and where they could go for one-stop shopping. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.